Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities, with John and Ms. J. And let me tell you, we got a really good guest today, an exciting guest, that is. His name is Mr. Marcus Trahan. But before we go any farther with this, I'm going to ask Ms. J to bring Mr. Marcus on.
Well, first of all, good evening, everyone, or good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. This is a very special show because I love school. I love teachers. And I had my favorite teacher, too. So to see a teacher like this in the community, and our young people are blessed to have him, I just think this is an awesome show. And this is one of the best ways to uplift the community is through our children. So before we get started, I'm going to introduce you to Mr. Jamarcus. He's going to tell you a little bit about himself before we get started. And Jamarcus, tell him a little bit about yourself, and we'll get started.
Okay. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Jamarcus Trahan. I'm from Houston, Texas. I was born and raised in inner city Houston, Texas. After high school, I went to the United States Air Force. I did 8 years in the Air Force, and before I got out, I started a small business, tax preparation and business entity formation company, help people set up their LLCs and corporations and nonprofits. After that, I transitioned into education. All my friends around me were in education, teachers and counselors. So I decided to give education a try. And so I ended up in education, and now I'm a fifth grade math teacher. And I love it. So here I am now.
All right.
Being blessed.
Yeah. Well, you say I'm just a fifth grade math teacher. That is something great. You are a fifth grade math teacher. You know, that's just honorable. But you're more than that to your students. You know.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's what a lot of people say. So you're more than that to your students. You know. You could have came in and just said, "Well, I'm just going to be a great teacher." What made you decide that? To be more than just a teacher, because you are more than one teacher. You go beyond what a teacher would do. What moved you to say, this is what I'm going to do?
Well, Ms. J, my spirit tugs at me a lot. So I would say my spirit, answering my spirit, answering the Lord and what he's telling me to do, that's what made me transition, because I would see a need, you know, if I'm in my classroom every day in front of these kids every day, and I can't see a need every day and not address it. So yeah. What happened is I just started doing what my spirit tells me to do. My spirit tells me, hey, how are you going to be standing in front of these kids? And, you know, you look nice, you look good, and the kids are complimenting you. Hey, Mr. Trahan, I like your shoes, I like this, I like that. But, you know, you can help those kids too. So I just started helping them. Like, that's just where it just began with that. Just answering my spirit. It's just in my spirit. Like, I like shoes. I like Jordans. So I can't stand in front of my classes and I have on $200 pair of Jordans when their shoes, they've been wearing the same shoes since August and it's December. And they wear the same shoes every day, day in, day out, same school uniform every day, day in, day out. Like, I can't look myself in the mirror and think, hey, man, I got on these shoes, but look at your kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
I do.
It's in my spirit. Mm-hmm. It's just in my spirit. Like, I have to, I can't live like that. I have to, if I know I can help, it'll be different if I couldn't. But if I know I can help, I just feel like I have to help. Like, I just have to.
Well,
cool.
Jamarcus, tell the audience some of the things that you see that the kids need in school.
Number one, I would say their father, which is why I decided to be a male in the teaching system, because when I first got in education, a lot of people were saying, oh, don't be a teacher. You can be a counselor, or you can be or as soon as you get in, go to coaching so you can make extra money, or only teach for 3 years, then you can be an assistant principal, then you can do this. Then, you know, they were trying to push me up, and they were saying, you know, as being a black male, you can rise quick in education because it's not a lot of men. But what I realized is those kids need a father. Like, so they call me their math father. They're like, you're my math dad. Like, so they need balance. Like, I tell people all the time, I teach about 40% math. The other 60% is just life. I teach life. We have family meetings on the carpet. I call my kids to the carpet. Let's have a family meeting. You know, and I talk about issues. I share my life with my kids. Like, my kids know my mom's name. They know my sister's name. They know my cousin's name. They see my pictures. Like, I share my childhood with them. I share life with them. And I,
wow.
So they need that. So a lot of conversations that I have with my kids, I'm the first one to tell them about that. Like, how to handle, how to watch your friends, make sure that, you know, that you got a good set of friends, make sure you don't do this, don't do that. Like, I'm, a lot of times I'm the first person that I've ever told them that. So I would say they need fathers and they need parents that are into their children, not parents that are into themselves.
Wow.
Mm.
So,
that's powerful.
I'm just telling you that, like, but once they get beyond that, then they'll get the other stuff. They'll get a parent who's seeing them wear the same thing on every day, and then they'll start getting, you know, the clothes that they need or the shoes that they need. Like, that'll come from once the parent's concern is there, you know, unless it's a parent that just can't do it for themselves. So, I mean, I have situations like that as well, but most of all, they need their parents. They need their father's love. That's what they need.
Yeah.
That's what they need the most.
That's very powerful. And you know, one of the things that you mentioned about black male teachers in the system, you know, I think we had one and he taught science and everybody thought he was the biggest, I mean, like walking God almost, because we, all the rest of the teachers were white, and to have just that one teacher, even us as girls, we gravitated because he was like us, you know. And I think that people underestimate the presence of a black male, even for females. You know, I know a lot of times we talk about the young guys and the guys, the men, the young boys most definitely need them. But, you know, as on the girl side, we do too, because we see. We may not maybe talk to that man or that teacher or that whoever that good example that is, but we see, and by seeing we know
mm-hmm.
it's better. You know what I mean? So to
yeah.
have that male presence, not just for the girls but for the boys as well, it's really profound, and I wish we did have more male teachers, because I think it would make
mm-hmm.
a big difference in the school system, especially with our boys.
That's part of the reason why, like, I don't plan on leaving teaching anytime soon. But yeah, I have a business on the side. Yeah, I have this, I have that. I buy and sell property. But I'm not leaving the career field of teaching because of that need. I have, like, all the girls in my class, I call them princesses. Like, I can't. And the boys know, Mr. Trahan will jump down your throat if you say something about these girls, like, and vice versa. Like, they can't, I won't let you disrespect a girl. And I, matter of fact, I had this conversation with my kids this week. Like, society and rap music and all that, they teach you to devalue the women that's right next to you. But in my class, it's like the complete opposite. Like, I will go off on you if I see that you're devaluing her. Because I need to teach you, I need to counteract what society's teaching you.
Yeah.
And the girls have told me that too. I have girls whose fathers are incarcerated. They break down and cry and tell me, like, you know, my dad's locked up, or they'll show me pictures of him, stuff like that. Yeah, it's a need. If I could say anything,
it would
be that.
You know, I can imagine Jamarcus. It could be a very tough challenge these days in teaching because the kids are so smart, and days, and they have the internet, and they got all the social media. And the way the rap game area right now is still a lot of rappers doing that gangster rapping, and so, you know, I can see a challenge, but you're tackling it pretty well, you know. It's pretty good, man. I like that. And one more thing I want to say, I want to tell the audience, press 1 if you want to elaborate on something or ask a question. Please press 1, and I'll let you in. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Jamarcus.
I was going to say, like, what I do, I know, so what I do is I take the culture and I incorporate it in what I'm trying to do.
Right.
I'll have multiplication problems, right? So we'll talk about how many CDs that Lil Wayne sold, and if he makes $7.50 off of each CD, then how much money did he make if he went platinum? So I'll incorporate the culture into.
That's awesome.
Yes, it
keep
is.
It in.
I mean, man, you're genius.
Doing days.
Yeah.
I didn't always do this because I didn't always understand the importance of it. Because, you know, when we grew up, the teacher grabbed a blackboard and got on the blackboard with their chalk and was like, hey, y'all going to get it this one way and that's it. But, no, it's definitely a need. They're more engaged if they're trying to figure out, you know, how much money he made off of this latest album. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, because that's something they're interested in.
Yeah.
They're interested in that.
That's why I
keep
mad.
Yeah.
Math is all around us, so that's why I probably can't teach anything but math, because math is all around us. I can do that with math.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
That's pretty cool.
Okay, well, we got a caller. Want to either elaborate on something or ask you a question, let me let him in, okay?
Absolutely.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Tommy Cole, Lake Charles, Louisiana.
All right. What's up, Tommy?
Ain't too much. How you doing, Mr. John L. Brown, Mrs. J, and Mr. Jamarcus? How's it going?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I just want to commend you, man, for the work you're doing. You know, kids need that. You know, kids, they have a fabulous brain, and lots of times we let them go and just let the world take them over. I really appreciate what you're doing. That way the kids can really get an idea on what life is about, where their place is in life. And we need more men like you, you know, in the classes, at home, you know, in the neighborhoods, man. And I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, man. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah,
man, I learned from someone, too. Like, I wasn't always like this. An elder taught me the same thing. Like, young man, once you get yourself together, then you need to go back and pick up someone else. Because I don't have kids. I don't have kids, at least not yet. But I know I will. And even when I have my kids, I'm still going to want to help others because that's what I was taught. I was taught so when you get yourself together, then you go back and get the next person.
That's how it ought to be.
That's a really good point. That's really good because just think about it. If everyone did that, if we all just really genuinely did that, I mean, it ain't got to be the big, a big, humongous lift, but just a lift, how different our communities would be. If we would,
it'd be very
different.
And what I learned is because, you know, I got in over my head because I was trying to do too much. What I learned is you really can just help the people that come by you every day. You really don't, you don't necessarily have to go find kids unless you want to, because there's enough there's enough people that need help right in front of you. You know what
that's
I mean?
Right.
That's right.
So if we could do that, you know, yeah, like you said, it would be the world would look a lot different.
You really
that's
would.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Really
well,
good.
You know what touched me? What touched me? I was talking with a friend of mine. She's from Houston too, and she was telling me about you. You know how the great work that you is doing. And something she said, I can't you know go word for what she said, but she was telling me that what you had said that how can you teach a student that's in need? How can they learn that it's a student that's in need, you know, of certain things, you know, like maybe clothes or shoes or food or whatever, you know? Yeah. And that touched me, you know, and I said, wow, I got to get this guy here on the show because I can remember when I was going to school. What you say, we all can fall back on the struggles, you know, going to school and stuff like that and have to wear our different, you know, other people's clothes.
Yep, absolutely. Jamarcus, what was it that you actually said and what moved you to say that?
I told her, I was talking about one of my students, and I said, how can I teach him math when he's been wearing the same clothes, literally the same shirt, the same shorts, the same socks, the same pair of shoes since August the 25th, and it's mid-November. He's been wearing that 5 days a week every day.
Wow, poor baby.
How can I teach him math with that? How can I? Because he doesn't have his immediate needs met. So until I meet his immediate needs, then I can't teach him math. Like, we got to get to the basic stuff first. Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of that I picked up from my grandmother, because like I said, I grew up in a bad neighborhood in Houston. I grew up in Third Ward, and it's I watched my grandmother. Once she turned her life around, she would open up her house to like drug addicts or people that were on the corner, and she would bring them in and she would feed them and their children. And a lot of my friends from my old neighborhood, I met them because my grandmother used to feed them. And she would be in the room with their mom and, you know, talking to them about Christ and, you know, trying to help them. And I'd be, in the other room playing with their kids. So my grandmother was the first example I've seen. And, like, I didn't realize what she was doing since I was little. But when I reflect back on my childhood, my grandmother was the first example of, before I try to better your life in this other way, let me give you the basics first. You need something to eat. So let me feed you first. Let me,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's
as a teacher, do you see that a lot, that that the home life is a big a distraction from when they actually get in the classroom? Because a lot of times if your home is up, you know, your mom's got issues or she's in a, you know, your parents are in a bad relationship or your mom's in a bad relationship, it does affect the children. And so you got home life, like you said, some kids are lacking the basic, you know, enough clothing through the winter. Some people are probably coming in your class hungry. I mean, all those kind of aspects of things, how does that affect you being able to teach? Is that one of the reasons why you felt, you know, because I know you mentioned that, you know, you look at it and you see it, but you looked at it, you saw it, and you act on it, you know. And so, but how does that affect that learning? Because I think a lot of times people don't realize what goes on at home really affects them once they get in that classroom. How do you get their brain, besides, you know, giving them the basics, how do you get their mind to, you know, come around to wanting to learn?
What part of that question you want me to answer? There's a lot on that one. First of all, in my classroom, I save breakfast for everyone. So even if, I'm blessed enough to work at a school that everybody gets breakfast. So we got a grant. So everybody gets breakfast and everybody gets lunch for free. But even with that, some kids' parents always bring them late. So if you're not here at a certain time, you're going to miss the free breakfast anyway. So what I do is I always get a couple extra breakfasts because I talk to the cafeteria people. I have a good relationship with them. I always keep an extra breakfast, and it never fails. I have at least two or three kids, and they come in. First thing I ask them, have you ate? And they be like, no. I be like, you want breakfast? They be like, yeah. I be like, there's it right there. And the kids, they used to wonder why I always put it there until they start seeing the kids start eating those breakfasts every day. Because, like, if you're hungry, your stomach going to be growling. Like, I can't teach you until your immediate needs. I mean, if you want to think about the Bible, Christ always, he always met people's immediate needs before he gave them the gospel. You know, he healed people, then he converted them. You know what I mean? So I'm just looking at people. He will meet their immediate needs first, and then he will change their life. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm trying to do, something like that, because I'm thinking that's what I need to do first. I need to meet their immediate needs first. And it affects the learning multiple ways. Number one, you're more willing to listen to me now because you know I care about you. And I care about more than just that. If I send you home with a backpack full of clothes that you can wear to school, and I send you home with some regular clothes too so you can wear on the weekend, you're more subject to listen to me now. Because, you know, hey, man, Mr. Trahan's just not in front of me for a paycheck. Because he really went out of his pocket, and he really paid for me some stuff. So they're more willing to listen. And that right there is going to help their grades. Because now they're listening, they're in tune. But I mean, it's a lot of other ways.
You know, those kids are—they really blessed to have you as a teacher. Because I don't know if there's a lot of teachers doing what you're doing. You know,
I
really don't.
In the salary. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you want me to be real with you? No, it's not. The structure of school has changed. Like, there's not many counselors anymore. They have, we used to have counselors. We used to have multiple counselors when I was in school.
But
the counseling position, that's a position that they decide that's flexible now. So, which means if they have it in the budget, cool. If they don't, then they're going to cut the counseling position, which should never cut the counseling position, in my opinion. My school doesn't have a counselor anymore. So last year they had a counselor, and she was great. She was getting the kids. She would send kids home with, like, food on every Friday, like a little care package for the kids that, you know, that we've already identified as needing help. But if you don't have that, you know, what's up with the kids this year? You know what I mean? They still have to eat.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I do see. I have coworkers. I have good coworkers that, you know, they buy stuff like me. I send all of the girls to my female coworkers, and then if they have boys in their class, then I'll take care of their boys.
That's awesome.
Like me, I have teachers that you know, in my circle. Like, I can't speak for my whole school, or I can't speak for other schools or other campuses or whatever, but I do know some that actually help out too, but I do know more that are just out for themselves. So it just.
Yeah. But it could it be also too that teachers don't make that much? I mean, I think that is something that really needs to be changed. There's certain jobs that we don't have better salaries on, and I really think teaching is one of those positions that. Because a lot of teachers really don't make that much, so a lot of them are not, you know, may not even have the resources to do that. They may want to in their heart, but they don't have the money.
Yeah, this is true too. See, I, like I said, I've been blessed. I had my business before I started teaching, and the Lord has blessed me to where I can still teach it and still run it at my business at the same time. So,
absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, you know what? Our pay would be fine if all we had to do was teach. But we got to be a teacher, we got to be a nurse, we got to be a counselor,
absolutely.
We got to be all that in one.
Absolutely.
I mean,
that's
to
right.
tell you the
that's
truth,
right.
we need about 3 or 4 paychecks. Seriously. For what we do, we need about 3 or 4 paychecks. But, yeah, you're right.
It was another question I wanted to ask you. What are some of the things that you guys help the kids with in school?
As far as like non-school related, what do you mean?
You like as far as like books? Do you guys help them with books and let's say paper, pens? Is that what you buy for them? I mean, help, you know, supply to
this
them.
This is what I do. Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I basically could say what I want to do.
Most teachers that I know, they do what I do. We do like a community thing where first week of school, you know, you bring your supplies in, you turn all of them in, and then we just pull everything together. So I tell my kids, you might as well tell your mom, don't even put your name on that paper because it's going all to the community. And I teach community effort in my class. I pull everything together, like paper, pen. I rarely buy that. I do put in some of mine, but that's not a majority of where I spend the money on because a lot of kids' parents, they do send them with more than they need, so I redistribute to other kids. But when they come to my class, they don't need anything because I provide everything I need in my class. So I don't give other kids paper per se, but I just make sure that everybody that comes to my room, they don't need paper because there's paper in my class already. There's pencils in my class already. There's folders in my class already. So, but to get it to that point, yeah, we pool everything together. That way the people that do have more, the people that who parents buy them a whole lot, we can, you know, help take care of the parents that don't.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, we only got a minute and 30 seconds left on the show. So I'm going to ask Ms. J to close us out.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening. Marcus, it was a pleasure speaking with you. I mean, because, you know, people may wonder why, you know, we had Marcus on, but because Uplifting Community consists of a lot of things, and there's a lot of needs, a lot of different things that need to be addressed. And to have a teacher that goes beyond what normally is required is really a blessing for our kids in the community, and that's a great way to uplift the community. So, Jamarcus, we thank you for that. We really appreciate you coming on today. John, did you have anything that you would like to say?
The only thing I want to say is thanks a lot, Marcus, for coming on. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give Marcus the last word. If there's anything positive you want to leave with the audience and the people that's listening online, go for it.
I just want to say just find it in your heart to help the person next to you, whether it be an adult or whether it be a kid. And examine yourself. Examine what you do every day, and you will probably realize that there is some kind of way, whether it's lending them your time or using your talent to help them or anything like that. It doesn't have to be financial. But just give more.
All right.
Absolutely.
With that said,
well, thank you.
I'm going to say good night to everybody.
Thank you, Marcus. Good night, everyone, and thank you for joining us.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.